The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6-0-1-0. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Football Podcast, it is the most prestigious, coveted, anticipated award show of the season. It is the 06010 East.
The 06010 East.
It rolls right off the tongue. My name is Field Yates, alongside Matthew Berry and Star Fanya Bell. Hello for show number 100 of the season for us.
Wow. There That's you go.
Amazing.
I did not know that.
We
congratulations.
Made it to triple digits.
Made it to triple digits. Everyone bet the under.
That's a good point. Yeah. And,
well, to be honest, they bet the under on you.
Which is part of the show. Honestly, that's the bet I took, to be candid. So we're all losing our shirts. Stefania, you look lovely as always, especially in the velvet.
Oh, well, thank you. It's an award show.
Yeah.
It's award season.
It is.
So, you know, and you have to have a different look. So this is just for this show.
100%. Understood. Understood. So, yes, in the velvet.
So real question for you. Yeah. For a question.
Like, real question. Yep.
Is this your actual tuxedo?
If
you were invited to a wedding.
Right.
And it was black tux optional. Black tie optional, excuse me.
Like if you were invited to a wedding in June, for example.
Yeah. Right.
Would you be able to dress in
I could get between now and then. But no, if you're saying like
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, like tonight, all of a sudden, hey, emergency wedding, we need you in a tux. What would I wear? It would be this. Yeah. Like, no, I don't. I have one tux. I have one tux that I wore at my first wedding.
By the way, one tux is totally fine.
No. But
oh,
I wore it.
Wedding.
But I wore it at my first wedding. So my wife would not want me to wear the tux that I got married to my ex-wife in.
Why do you still have that?
And it's hanging in the closet somewhere. I don't throw anything away.
Plus, it's made out of what, like burlap and linseed oil or something like that.
So, like, I don't know that I would fit into it because that was a
we got
to
get Matthew
about
tidying up. You guys haven't watched Hoarders. That show on
Hoarders.
Maybe there's a show called Hoarders for you. You can't get
that. That was probably. I mean, I'm trying to think when my ex-wife and I got married. It would have been almost 20 years ago.
Probably is like earth tones too, right? They didn't really do bright colors back then, did they?
It was in black and white. Yeah, it was in black and white. There you go.
Hey,
anyway,
but you have a pocket square.
So,
I see.
There you,
your tux. Right
I had
there.
A choice. I had a choice, Secret Squirrel. When you said to me, "Hey, we're doing an award show, and we're going to do it 3 weeks after the season, after everyone's forgotten about everything that's happened." When you told me that whole premise, and I said, oh, that's very exciting. That'll be great for the fans. When you said that, it said, oh, by the way, everyone's going to be dressing up. I had a choice there, right? I could either try, like, Stefania's always going to look lovely, right? Okay. So there, she's in her own category. So then I'm trying to compete with Field. And look, let's be honest. That's a battle I'm going to lose 100 times out of 100.
So who are you trying to show up here? Is it me? Is that what it is? Because I wore a shirt with buttons on it for the second time this year. I
understand.
Hope you know.
So I had a way to go. I could either dress up in a suit and tie and just look like, you know, a schlub next to Field, or I could go stay in my lane, which is like go something sort of funny, but also acknowledging that we're trying to dress up here a little bit.
Right.
I think I made the right choice. To be perfectly honest,
you
put up a poll.
You could have gone
Thirsty
toe-to-toe
Kyle,
with me.
Put up a poll. I think I made the right effing call.
Right. You
to be
could
honest.
Have gone toe-to-toe with me
and
lost. Looked like a schlub.
100%.
Or did what you did instead and look like a schlub.
Exactly.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
But at least I'm comfortable as a schlub this way. Otherwise,
that's a good point. You're not like in a tight-fitting shirt or something,
right? Yeah, it's comfy. Secret Squirrel. I learned something before the show today when we were talking about shoes because Stefania has her Jordans that she's all proud of.
Yeah,
oh
she
God,
does.
This is great. I hope you tell the story.
No, Field. Earnest. No, Field goes. Field goes. He goes. We were talking about a particular brand of shoe, and he just basically said, oh, yeah, I carry two pairs with me at all times.
Correct.
At all times, Field Yates has two different pairs of shoes with him. Factually correct?
That's true. Well, at ESPN, I do. And there's a very specific reason why. I've got shoes that I intend to wear exclusively on the air, but ESPN's campus is not a place that, like, there are ways to walk from one building to another building that you could definitely be needed at and have to go outdoors. I don't want to risk shoes that you see on national television getting scuffed up, Matthew. I take a lot of pride in those. So I've got my indoor shoes here. I've got my outdoor shoes here. Some might call it a first world problem. I call it being pragmatic and being fashion forward and caring about my non-schlubness.
In the first world. I mean, it is absolutely a first world problem. Let's be clear about that. I just clean my shoes is what I do. I just take care of them.
No, you don't.
Some shoes
no,
don't.
No, you don't.
Well, whatever.
That wasn't the story I thought you were going to tell, but I'll spare you from the other one. We have a big show.
I thought you were going to tell about him having one of your shoes in his office.
Yeah, well, that one he's had. That's now been recovered. So thankfully,
a long time ago.
We have 10 awards to hand out today, and we're not done yet. Tomorrow, is it going to post tomorrow as well?
Yes,
tomorrow,
it will.
Tomorrow, Matthew and Mike Clay, our friend, are going to do a podcast surrounding the 8 coaching hires and looking at it through the fantasy prism. So something to look forward for those of you that already have your eyes on 2019. But without further ado, it is time to hand out some hardware. Well, not technically, because last year we had the trophy here and it got kind of awkward and cumbersome. So we will have a trophy. But in the meantime, we're going to hand out
virtual
non-material awards.
Virtual awards. So By the way, if you nail this, maybe you get to be the Oscar host.
Right.
Still a gig that's open.
I'm still available. Not busy. Let me know. Academy. Right. Let's begin now with our 1 week wonder. The best performance that seemingly came out of nowhere. Being a one hit wonder is not a qualification for this award. Daniel, favorite one hit wonder. Quickly go.
It would have to be fastball.
Fastball for the way, right?
Yes, that's right.
Not a bad. I think that's probably accepted as the most popular one-hit wonder of all time. But again, the best performance that seemingly came out of nowhere. The nominees
What's
were
your favorite
as such.
One-hit wonder?
The way, because that's like the one that everybody says. The way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine is. I'll go old school.
Okay.
Super. You know this. You won't even know this one, but Men Without Hats. Safety dance.
Yeah.
Come on.
Good answer. Yeah. Good answer.
Come on, Eileen. Yeah. Dexys Midnight Runners.
Also a good one. But good the safety dance, the safety dance has like a crazy video as well.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway. Come on, Eileen, it's pretty weird.
That's true.
So I'll bring it back.
Yeah. Here.
How about Chumbawamba? That's
they had a
good
couple
one.
Of thoughts. Tell me, had a couple had a couple hits.
Yeah. Did they?
It did. Yeah. They're really popular in Britain.
True. So this is overseas. Like, but in America, they're known for Tub Thumper.
All right. So the nominees for the 1 week wonder are as follows. Blake Jarwin, the Cowboys tight end, who in week 17 had 7 catches for 119 yards and 3 touchdowns. Derrick Henry, might have heard of him, for the Tennessee Titans in week 14. He busted out 17 carries, 238 yards, 99 of which came on just one carry, 4 touchdowns. Kyle Rudolph, Vikings tight end in week 16, had 9 catches, 122 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And finally, Mitch Trubisky, week 4 against the Buccaneers, 354 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, plus 53 rushing yards. I want to say like 5 of those touchdowns came in the first half. So just one person, me, voted for Kyle Rudolph. So let me explain the reason why I made the case for Kyle Rudolph before we get to the others that also received votes. When I think about a player that seemingly came out of nowhere, like, I wouldn't vote for someone that wasn't being utilized in lineups at all. Not a single person playing in the championship was like, yep, can't wait to insert Blake Jarwin in week 17 into my lineup. Kyle Rudolph is a player that you had stood by throughout the season, not because he had been good, but because no tight ends are good. There's literally like 3 good tight ends. So without a reasonable option to replace Kyle Rudolph with, you probably just tried to figure it out at other positions. You said, hopefully my running backs are good enough to win this week. He went 11 straight games without a touchdown. He had 5 catches for 30 yards over the 2 weeks prior to this game. And on that game, he came out with 33.2 fantasy points of course, the Hail Mary at the end of the first half. Monster game. Like, I would not be surprised if Kyle Rudolph was started in, like, I don't know, like a reasonable amount of leagues that were still playing in week 17. Wouldn't stun me. Whereas I think some of the other guys in this list, no one was playing him. Hence my reasoning.
Well, we all play in the War Room League here at ESPN. And the champion of the league, Seth Markman, our fearless leader who oversees all the NFL coverage for ESPN, who plays in the league, won the league this year,
And he did it in part because of Derrick Henry, who was my vote. So I really looked at the description here, the best performance that seemingly came out of nowhere. That's the first sentence of the description here. And you think about Derrick Henry, who was certainly rostered in a ton of leagues. And in fact, he was started, the reason I bring up Seth is because Derrick Henry is one of the reasons he won the championship. He started him in this week 14. And we certainly heard from a number of people on Twitter that lost because they were facing Derrick Henry or managed to survive in advance because of Derrick Henry. You think about Jacksonville entering week 14. Second fewest running back points allowed, sixth fewest running back rushing yards allowed, seventh fewest running back yards per game. So it was a very good run defense for Jacksonville. And then Derrick Henry, if you think back to that week three game when the Titans and the Jaguars played the first time of the season, Derrick Henry got more carries in week three at Jacksonville, 18, than he did in this game. He managed just 67 yards. So he'd already failed basically against Jacksonville. They were red hot. Deion Lewis had been more of the primary guy. However, he had been scoring touchdowns coming into that game. And so people, I think, reluctantly started him, hoping he would fall into the end zone. 17 carries, 238 yards, 4 touchdowns, 47.8 fantasy points. Came out of nowhere. To me, he's the winner.
You got the vote as well for Derrick
Henry.
Yeah,
I did. I mean, Matthew's given you pretty much all the same stats that I was looking at. And it was if you follow this podcast for a while, we were talking about this before show, you've heard us use the term fantasy zombie in the Wayback Machine. This is a player we're trying to decide if he really qualified as that, because he wasn't really good to start the season and then disappeared. But I think the expectation was that Derrick Henry was going to have so much more opportunity with DeMarco Murray being gone. You thought he was going to be a solid performer. It didn't happen. You probably gave up on him. And then these few weeks at the end of the season came out of nowhere.
Congratulations to Derrick Henry, who wins award one. Award two goes to the game.
Whoa. That is not what we practiced at all.
Not at all. First off, you were going to talk to Thirsty Kyle about, he was going to make the case for Blake Jarwin, because he voted for Blake Jarwin dumbly, but he did it. Go ahead, Thirsty Kyle.
Hey, I mean, the Cowboys had one tight end touchdown coming into that game. The man scores 3 in 1 week out of nowhere. To me, Blake Jarwin the winner, but not getting much love here.
So he didn't start. And then Field, I mean, I put him on the Kevin Hart list. Like, you're not hosting anything. I mean, like, honestly, because it should have been like, and the 0601 so a lot of great nominees, but the 0601 goes to, drum roll, Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans.
Yay! Derrick Henry, congratulations. Henry could not be here, so we're accepting on his behalf.
There you go. Thank you, Stefania. Right, Secret Squirrel?
That is accurate. Matthew, for once this year, I can say you did a real good job there, bud.
Saving the best for last.
All right. Now we move on to our next category, at which point we moved on to the game of the year. In your opinion, the best single game performance of the 2018 season. The games are listed in the order of most fantasy points. Nominee 1, Amari Cooper of the Dallas Cowboys against the Eagles in week 14, 10 catches, 217 yards and 3 touchdowns, good for 49.7 points. Number 2, a familiar face, is Derrick Henry. 17 carries on 238 yards, 4 touchdowns. Again, this was against the Jaguars in week 14, 47.8 fantasy points. Christian McCaffrey, he was awesome this year. In week 12, he was especially awesome with 125 rush yards, a rushing touchdown, 11 catches, 112 receiving yards, plus 1 receiving touchdown. That's 46.7 fantasy points. And finally, Mr. soon-to-be former Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, who in Week 16 against the Saints had 14 catches for 185 yards and 2 touchdowns, 44.5 fantasy points. Stefania, why don't you paint the case for Christian McCaffrey?
Well, did you see how long it took you to get through all those stats? That's because Christian McCaffrey did everything on the field. You know, some of your players in there, they did it in one dimension. Amari Cooper was catching balls. Derrick Henry was rushing for touchdowns. But Christian McCaffrey had rushing stats, over 100 yards rushing, over 100 yards receiving, and found the end zone doing both things. So to me, it was the versatility, it was the amount of yardage that he accumulated, and that's what was so impressive about that performance. The first player since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2002 with 125 rushing yards and 10 catches in the same game. I mean, Christian McCaffrey was a stud all year long, but to me, it was the way he did everything. The only thing he didn't do was throw a touchdown
pass.
He
did throw a touchdown pass this year.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, but I meant not in that game. And then when you think about that, that just tipped the scale for me.
Yeah, he was awesome all season. Perhaps the fantasy MVP. We'll discuss that a little bit later on. Matthew, Antonio Brown, again, he might soon be a former Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah.
But honestly, that game felt like a reminder that until he's not a former Steeler, I still believe he's the best player on that offensive roster.
Coming into that game, he had been outscored by Juju Smith-Schuster in four straight games, or the four games prior total, like 89 points to 70 points total in those four games. Those four games combined coming into that one. 14 catches, 44.5 fantasy points, both of those career highs for AB in a road game. We've always talked about road Ben and some of the struggles. Those obviously then trickle down a little bit to Antonio Brown. But for me, look, lots of four great games, amazing. The reason I voted for Antonio Brown here, Field, is it was week 16.
Correct.
He literally won people the championship. So the question is, a best single game performance. It was week 16. He won people their titles in week 16, or the first half of a 2-week playoff if you played in ESPN standard leagues there. I think you could make a case for Henry or Cooper in week 14. But again, they may have sort of bounced each other out in the first round of the playoffs. And for me, it's because it's week 16.
Agreed there. Daniel, my question to you is this. Can the 1-week wonder also be the game of the year? Because you voted for Derrick Henry.
I absolutely did. I think the thing to realize here that Derrick Henry had not had more than 58 rushing yards in any game throughout the season until that point. And then that game, 17 carries, 238 yards, 4 touchdowns. And again, like Matthew said earlier, against the Jacksonville Jaguars, this was not just some pushover defense.
Well,
so,
let's be honest, they helped him in that game. they looked like a pushover defense a little bit.
They forgot to show up in that game.
Yeah,
that
certainly
much is for
did.
Sure.
But my question, Field, is, who is it that won this award?
Well, what? Daniel, without further ado, drum roll, please.
Yes.
The game of the year goes to Stefania Bell. Tell us.
The 06-0-OE for game of the year goes to Derrick Henry.
He's got a monopoly on it. Derrick Henry goes back to back. The applause track in the background tells you everything you need to know. Congratulations, Derrick Henry.
How about the production value of this show?
That was not an applause show. We just have a bunch of cowboys sitting in the back.
There you go. Yeah.
That include Cowboy Sam?
Not actually Cowboy Sam, no.
Oh, too bad.
Comeback Player of the Year is our next award, and it's the most productive player that was either injured or disappointing in 2018. The four nominees are as follows. Andrew Luck, quarterback 5 in 2018 after exactly zero snaps taken in 2017 because of a shoulder issue. Deshaun Watson, he was quarterback 4 in 2018. I might add quietly, he played 7 games in 2017, then he tore his ACL in practice, ended a miracle rookie season. Matt Ryan, remember how many bad stats Kyle's able to pull in 2017? He gave him all the fodder you could possibly need. He finishes quarterback 2 in 2018. Amari Cooper, this could almost be the comeback player of the year broken into two seasons, because not only was Amari Cooper disappointing in 2017 when he was wide receiver 34, he eventually became wide receiver 12 in fantasy points per game after week 9 when he was traded to the Dallas Cowboys, of course. Kyle, is there a case to be made for Matt Ryan after all that negative venom you spewed at him last year?
I got nothing wrong with Matt Ryan, but yeah, Tristan voted for him. Last year, he didn't have a game with over 18.5 fantasy points. This year, he had at least 19.5 fantasy points in each of the four ESPN playoff games. He was the first quarterback to do that since Tom Brady and Drew Brees did it in 2011. Pretty good stretch for Matty Ice when you needed it most.
All right, I think that's fair. You know, Matthew, I think Deshaun Watson, I said this when I was describing it, but it was kind of a quiet quarterback four.
It didn't
feel like the dominant performance.
No, it certainly didn't. I think people were wondering about his health, although Stefania, to her credit, all through the offseason was she felt that Deshaun Watson would be back and healthy because of the way the injury was progressing and when he had gotten injured in the season as well. So for me, I was a little surprised to see Watson nominated because he had been so good prior to the injury.
Yeah, I think so as well. He was really good, and I think the only comeback he needs to make is being back from an ACL tear. But because he's done it before, because he's a really resilient guy, because the weapons, he has at least one that you really love in DeAndre Hopkins, we all felt pretty good about Deshaun Watson.
And it also, I mean, I will say, I don't know that he certainly wasn't the fourth best quarterback from an NFL perspective. Like, if you just watched the tape and graded everyone based on the tape, like, he struggled, but you know, because of the rushing yards and came on towards the end, and played every game, which also helps as well.
And I got to be honest with you, this also felt like a year where, in terms of quarterback separators, like, is a mini teeny, well, it's a one person tier at the top.
Sure.
And then, like, you know, like, there was like 2 through 8 was kind of like, they were all sort of the same. But right. Stefania, maybe the best story of the year from a medical standpoint is Andrew Luck's wonderful play this season.
I just go back to the fact that people were talking about whether he'd ever play football again.
Sure.
I mean, misses all of 2017 after having surgery on his shoulder. As you may remember, before that season comes back, it never gets to really throwing in camp. I mean, any throwing he did was behind closed doors, and they're kept, he was close, but not quite. And then they ultimately shut him down. And then there was discussion about whether he was going to have another surgery, whether he was just going to take time, continue rehab. And because he hadn't been seen, it led to more and more chatter in the off season. And then he came back, and when he did first start throwing, it was the Nerf balls. It was the small footballs. And then people are like, well, he can do that, but can he throw a real football? And for him to come back under the glare of the media scrutiny, under all the doubt, and having his own self-doubt that he admitted later was really one of the most difficult parts for him, and to not only come back, but come back and play all 16 games, and to get better, I would argue, as the season went on, in terms of if you looked at how he was throwing the ball, decisive, sharp, there was no hesitation, and, you know, he was also protecting, he was playing like a better quarterback all the way around. So I think for what he came back from all the doubt and people thinking he might not play again, that really made the case for him.
Pretty remarkable year for Andrew Luck, quarterback 5, as we mentioned.
Look, had 10 different games field with 285 passing yards or more and multiple touchdown passes. That led the NFL. And remember, at the beginning of the year, he was dinking and dunking, and it didn't seem like his arm strength was totally back. Well, starting in week 4, his air yards per target went up almost three air yards per throw. And from that point on, when he seemed to get the strength back, he was the second best quarterback in terms of total fantasy points from week 4 on.
Not an about face, perhaps, for Andrew Luck, but he really was remarkable in his turnaround.
So anyway.
Matthew Berry.
Yes.
So. I turn to you now. Drum roll, please.
And the 06-010 for comeback player of the year goes to Andrew Luck.
Yay! And his neck beard.
Captain Andrew Luck. Yeah. Congratulations.
An honorable mention to all the medical staff at the Colts.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
Agreed on that.
It's interesting. There's the story that has come out over the playoffs that Frank Reich was the only head coaching candidate that the Colts interviewed who didn't in his interview ask, how's Andrew?
Interesting.
That was a story that came out that every other, you know, coaching candidate, naturally, by the way, was just like, so, what's going on with Andrew? How's it going? And Frank Reich, apparently the only one that said, that didn't ever ask what was going on with Andrew Luck. And I don't know that but he did a great job.
He did a great job. He's going to be unrecognizable at the combine because going on right now with like the Harry Potter glasses, the big gray beard, like it's all a thing. At the moment.
Pretty sure I'll be able to find him. I just got to say these things are like homing devices. Right. You know what I mean?
They truly are. Hey, Field, before you move on, just very quickly, one piece of housekeeping that I want to address that we didn't really get to at the beginning of the show that we probably should have is in terms of who was able to vote. Who was the voting panel? We talk about these winners. Well,
cast 20,000 people.
Right, exactly. Who got to vote on it? So obviously, Field, you, myself, Starfanya Bell, Secret Squirrel Daniel Dopp, Thirsty Kyle, as you know, but also Mike Clay, who obviously spent a number of times filling in for me and doing various fill-in work here with the 06-010.
Right.
So Mike Clay, not cool Keith Lipscomb, who's in a tie today.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever seen him in a tie.
It's a sharp tie.
It's a nice tie.
I've worked with him for a decade.
I like to add that is a sharp tie.
I have no meetings with any higher-ups today.
It looks good. Yeah. You look good. The football scientist, Casey Joyner.
Yep.
Eric, our colleague, Eric Carabell, FSWA Hall of Famer, Eric Carabell, FSWA Hall of Famer, Tristan Cockcroft. Both of them, of course, the hosts of the 06-010 baseball podcast. They do a great job over there. And, the Statapillar, Damien, the Statapillar from the Fantasy Show, our show researcher over there on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus.
I almost regret including him in the voting.
Really?
That's not very nice.
Why?
I just don't really care for the way that he voted. I just feel like his random arms picked a bunch of random names and just threw it in there and sort of wrecked things for me. But we'll get to it as we get towards the end of the show.
Wow. Poor Damien. Your thoughts, Damien?
doesn't have a microphone. What? No.
No, Kyle Gave
Go ahead, Kyle. Go ahead.
That was uncalled for and very rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Damien's never coming back, Daniel. Yeah.
That's all right with me.
It's weird to hear Damien talk without his suit.
Time now for our one negative award of the show. It goes to the biggest disappointment. The description, pretty obvious. The player who was the biggest letdown this season based on both draft position and overall production. The nominees, and this is where they were drafted and where they finished, Le'Veon Bell drafted as RB2, who finished as running back 156. Leonard Fournette was drafted as RB8. By the way, it's tied for 156. Leonard Fournette was RB8, finished as running back 40. Devontae Freeman drafted as RB12, finished as running back 106. And Gronk, drafted as tight end 1, finished as tight end 11.
So the nominees, so those are all the nominees. And for me, you know, sort of looking at the voting, Leonard Fournette got one vote, and that was from Mike Clay.
Right.
And not cool, Keith. Do you want to make the case for Leonard Fournette? I honestly know Mike Clay was high on Fournette coming into the season and had him on a lot of teams.
This feels like a personal.
High when he made this decision.
Hey-o!
This feels like a personal vendetta. Like Mike Clay is angry at Leonard Fournette, and this is how he's showing it.
I think that's a fact. He's definitely angry. But we will say, though, he did just play in two games in the first 9 weeks of the season, but yet you couldn't drop him.
Right.
So I'm sure there's a real disappointment in that, of course.
Sure.
But then he comes back, though. If you did hang on to him and had those three big weeks where he scored more than 75 points, and then nothing else after that.
Right.
That's pretty disappointing.
I think Mike, if I had to guess Mike's argument, it would probably be that, hey, like, he didn't draft Le'Veon Bell because he didn't bother. He knew there was too much peril. He waited until September 1 or September 5th when the status of Le'Veon Bell was so far in doubt that if you're drafting Le'Veon Bell, it wasn't with pick 1 or pick 3 or pick 5. It was much lower on in the proceedings. But Le'Veon Bell, by many people's estimation, was the most disappointing player of the year. Stefania, he shares your last name.
Yes.
Why don't you make the case for
Le'Veon?
Right
now, my brother, Le'Veon. Here's the reason that it was a debate for me between him and Gronkowski. I can tell you why I didn't pick Gronkowski, but instead I will tell you why I voted for Le'Veon Bell here. And that was because it was such a huge blow to the fantasy community as a whole. And I thought when I'm voting on this, I didn't draft Le'Veon in any leagues because I looked at the situation and I didn't want that kind of risk in my lineup. I didn't want to draft him and hope that he would come back. And obviously we had no idea when he might be available. But when I looked at the fact that he was drafted running back 2 overall and how far it was the distance that he fell because, of course, he never played. So he ends up at 156. But it was the amount of lineups, the number of lineups, the number of people playing fantasy that he ultimately impacted. And there was the tease. You know, you kept thinking, well, maybe he'll be back at this point. Well, maybe he'll be back a few weeks after that. Well, maybe by this deadline, he'll be back. And it wasn't like you knew, even if you found out at week 2, so you could go replace him permanently. It put a lot of fantasy players in a very difficult spot. And for me, that's why in my estimation, he was the biggest disappointment.
You know, just to add to that, I will say that, look, I actually did draft him. I had him on a couple of teams. One was a league that drafted in early July. One was a league that drafted in early August. But I think because Le'Veon himself had tweeted, "This will be my best season ever," and I'm reporting.
Right. It was
His agent said he will play.
Right.
You know, and so
his
all the reports. His teammates said they.
He's going to be back
there.
By this week.
We had seen this before, and you know, just he left Miami. He was in Pittsburgh. You know, so
there jet was charters.
Yeah. Right. There was all sorts of indications that we thought he would play. I mean, and he gave an on the record interview to our own Jeremy Fowler. And I'm not throwing Jeremy under the bus because I think Jeremy does a terrific job for us. But he gave an on the record interview to Jeremy Fowler where he indicated he was going to at least come back over the bye week.
Yeah.
Over the bye. So just consistently lying and misleading people about his intentions about playing. And so for me, the reason I voted for him, in addition to all that, like, I just don't like the guy from just, I understand a player wanting to get as much money as they can, and I always will side with a player on that, but just say it. Like, for me, I had an issue with sort of the whole public relations piece of it, where saying he was coming and then he didn't. And
you didn't like the optics of Le'Veon's performance?
I didn't like the optics of it. And then in terms of this specific award field, I'll just say that he was drafted as basically a top two person. He wasn't able to be cut until he officially failed to report in week 11. So you had a roster spot that killed you for the majority of the season. And then also you think about how the rest of the first round played out. And we talk about Leonard Fournette. But other than that, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown, you know, Christian McCaffrey, like pretty much Melvin Gordon, pretty much everyone that you drafted in the first round other than Le'Veon Bell and maybe Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook, depending if you drafted him, basically paid off. DeAndre Hopkins. So you basically started the season with a massive hole if you drafted Le'Veon Bell.
I'll make the case for Rob Gronkowski. He was my vote this year, and I understand he finishes tight end 11. Doesn't sound that bad as compared to running back 156. Tied for 156 with 0 points, I should add. But the problem with Gronk was that you were paying a premium price on him. Many people were drafting him at the back end of the first round or the beginning of a second round, depending on what the size of your league was, for him to be a league winner. It was that you had this massive decided edge every single Sunday at a position that offers very little depth. Instead, you got a guy who was held under 60 receiving yards in 9 of the 13 games he played this season. He scored a touchdown in just 3 of the 13 games that he played this season. So I just think that knowing as much as we did about Le'Veon Bell, and again, we are all of the mind that like the closer you can draft to the Thursday night kickoff, the better. Because I was thrust into fewer situations where I even had to contemplate Le'Veon Bell, I went with Rob Gronkowski instead for my vote. Daniel, we have a little bit of a situation here, though.
Yeah, you bet we do. Because we are tied 5-5-1 thanks to the whatever Mike Clay was doing when he made his decision.
So
I'm going to make an executive decision, and I'm going to rule in favor of a specific player.
Okay. Do you want to pass that over to Starfanya via, like, you know, private conversation?
Sure,
like,
we can do that.
Password.
Here we go. And the winner of the 06-01-OE for biggest disappointment is
Rob Gronkowski.
That is who I am giving it to. And let me tell you why, Matthew Berry.
Sure.
Before you wipe that look off your face right now.
Stupid. But it's fine.
Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
Whatever.
The biggest disappointment is the winner of the biggest disappointment is a biggest disappointment. Go ahead.
You want to know why?
Yeah. This award's the biggest disappointment. What do you got?
I'll tell you what. When you drafted Le'Veon Bell, you knew that there was a risk involved with drafting that player.
You did. That's my argument. You didn't until very close to the end. Wait, if you drafted in early August, you had no indication.
In early August, you're drafting way too early and you're not listening to this podcast.
But people do that.
Understandable.
People do that. People draft in July. People draft all the time. Look at our data. Like, look at millions of people drafting in the first 2 weeks in August.
Yeah. I'm going to come to Matthew's defense here because you can't use that as the sole argument because Rob Gronkowski comes with a ton of risk. So don't
say
you're not coming with risk. We advised you if you drafted Rob Gronkowski to get a second tight end because of the likelihood that he would miss multiple games. Now, what we didn't know, and here's where I'm okay with the vote. You have the wrong rationale. The vote's okay. The rationale is that when Rob Gronkowski played, he didn't look like Rob Gronkowski. So when he was on the field, when he was healthy enough to take the field, he was not playing like the tight end that you drafted because what we constantly said in the preseason was, you may not have Gronkowski all 16 games. That's why you should get a backup tight end. But when you have him, he's likely to win you your week. He is a game changer on the field. And that field, would you agree, to me was the biggest disappointment was that when he was there, he wasn't himself.
Right. Again, you drafted him to be the guy that catalyzed your victory this season. It's not happened. Trust me. I got burned by him in the war room league.
And I disagree with this because James Conner was drafted as running back 39. Like, it's not like people didn't understand there was risk with Le'Veon Bell. Otherwise, James Conner wouldn't have been drafted at all.
Sure.
He would have been some handcuff that would have been an undrafted free agent. But
a lot of handcuffs were, and his ADP was all over the place. James Conner was.
Absolutely.
It's
more like 1A and 1B. Both of these players absolutely destroyed you. And I understand if you got James Conner, the biggest disappointment for Le'Veon Bell didn't hurt as much as if you drafted.
But that's not an argument you can use for whether it's okay that James Conner didn't jump.
You know what?
Le'Veon Bell didn't jump because he had James Conner.
Leonard Fournette wins biggest disappointment. How do you feel now?
No. You know who wins biggest disappointment? Secret Squirrel.
Oh,
at Daniel Dopp.
Thank you.
You know what it's time for? The awards music.
No, I just
go on to the next thing.
Yeah. Disaster. Le'Veon Bell.
Next
I want another poll.
Next.
I want another poll
go
Thursday.
Go to commercial. Where's the orchestra?
Who's the biggest disappointment? Who should win the 06-08 for biggest disappointment? Rob Gronkowski or Le'Veon Bell? Let's just let the people decide.
Moving along to our waiver wire wonder. Again, pretty self-explanatory here. The player who held the most fantasy value after not being drafted on average inside the top 160 players this season. Our nominees are Philip Lindsay for the Broncos, running back 13 in terms of fantasy points per game this season, Eric Ebron, tight end 4, Baker Mayfield, quarterback 16, and Tyler Boyd, who was wide receiver 19. Crazy to think that all of those players were not even drafted on average. Both of them, or all of them, were awesome. Kyle and Keith, you both picked a certain former Lions tight end. Kyle, what say you about the case for Eric Ebron?
Yeah, Eric Ebron finished the season closer to tight end 1 than he did tight end 8 in terms of total points this year. And I know you guys were all on Philip Lindsay, and I got nothing against him, but where was he when you needed him most? He was running back 42 from weeks 15 to 16 and didn't even play in week 17.
You didn't even have games in week 15 and 16.
He was hurt. Wow, Kyle going hard on Philip Lindsay, who had a wrist injury that requires surgery, who didn't even play in week 17.
He's not tough.
He was hurt.
So here's what I would say. Is Eric Ebron countered that, by the way, with games in which he had 33 receiving yards, 26 receiving yards, 31, 8 in that pivotal week 15 matchup, 28 in week 16, like... Eric Ebron was amazing. His touchdowns were unbelievable. But
he benefited from an offense that would throw touchdown passes to three different tight ends in one game. So he and Jack Doyle being hurt also boosted Eric Ebron.
To Fields' point, in week 15 against Dallas, he had one catch for 8 yards, 1.8 fantasy points.
Right,
in week 16 against the Giants, 3 for 28, 5.8 fantasy points there. So
so I think that we can probably safely...
Because at least you knew Philip Lindsay wasn't going to play and you could replace him with somebody.
I think we can...
Ebron just went out there and stunk.
Right. So I think, by the way, that we can probably move off of Baker Mayfield. He had a very fun end of the season. But first of all, quarterback is so deep, right? And even when Baker had this amazing stretch of great matches, like the Chiefs and the Falcons, and I want to say the Raiders, 3 out of 4 weeks, so the Buccaneers might have been mixed in there as well. He never cashed in and was like a top five option. Fine rookie season. I can't wait for Baker Mayfield in year 2.
Right. Next year is going to be fun for Baker Mayfield.
And I think what might bring us back towards Lindsay versus Ebron is that Tyler Boyd played the position with the most depth in fantasy, right? It's just more difficult to find reliable tight ends or running backs. And Matthew, I mean, just to make the case again for Philip Lindsay, everybody this year was talking about a breakout Denver Broncos running back that was a rookie.
Not named Philip Lindsay.
Just the other one. It was Royce Freeman. Philip Lindsay was tremendous.
Look, I went back and forth on this one because you could really make a strong argument for Eric Ebron based on the depth of the position.
Right.
But because it was sort of in and out because of Doyle being in there, it took a little while before you believed in Eric Ebron. It was inflates the wrong word, but there were a couple of huge games there for Eric Ebron that sort of skewed it a little bit. He was terrific. He was very close, but ultimately what boiled it down for me was just the depth of the position at Philip Lindsay and, just how consistent he was. Basically, week 1, 17 for 74 and a touchdown against Seattle, kind of building on the preseason success. We'd seen something from Philip Lindsay and then he sort of broke out in week 1. And so basically you got 15 weeks or up until he got hurt, you got 15 weeks out of Philip Lindsay. And so just sort of getting a starting running back in week 1 that was consistent week in, week out. I don't have Tristan's consistency rankings in front of me, but my suspicion is that he would rank pretty high because it felt like Lindsay gave you something every single week.
Yep, he was rock solid for them. That much is for sure.
So that's one of the reasons why I went with Lindsay.
So we turn it back to Matthew Berry here. Drum roll, please, Daniel Dopp.
So the 06-01 OE for Waiver Wire Wonder of the Year goes to, envelope please, Philip Lindsay.
Yay! Philip Lindsay.
Two first names, always a crowd pleaser.
Philip Lindsay, help me win a championship against
Philip Lindsay helping out Star Fonya Bell. A quick break for us, and we're right back with the Rookie of the Year.
Fantasy, you're in the 06-01-0.
Kyle, so I have a
Hold on.
What?
Just read the screen. That would make more sense.
So, yeah, Thirsty Kyle, we have a screen here where Thirsty Kyle can throw up notes to us every once in a while. And he wrote, Kyle Rudolph has three first names and you didn't vote for him in the other award. Well, right. I'm just, Philip Lindsay didn't get my vote because he has two first names. It's just it's an added bonus. It's another reason to root for the kid. And then you write three first names. I'm like, three first names. His name's Kyle Rudolph. And then it's like, his middle name is David, but no one calls him Kyle David Rudolph.
Well, maybe
Kyle Rudolph.
Daniel. He wrote, is Rudolph a first name?
Oh, Daniel. Now they
it's
even
a first
got it
name
wrong.
Rudolph. Reindeer.
Yeah, it's also Rudy. Like, yeah. You know, Rudolph.
Sure. Three first names.
No.
No, people
big season
can't
coming.
Rudolph is a first name.
Rudolph is the first
Rudy,
name.
Rudy, yeah.
Okay, then let's see you. Like, I refuse to believe that. I don't know anyone that has more children than you, Matthew, and if you have not named someone Rudolph,
yeah.
I don't think it's a first name.
No, baby Rudolph. Yeah, we have one.
Oh, baby Rudolph.
Yeah, we just.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah, Beth gave birth like a week ago. Yep.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
Baby Rudolph.
That I baby Rudolph.
I should. I'm sorry. I didn't. I'll bring a card.
His name is.
Was I invited to the christening?
Rudolph Berry.
Rudy for short. Rudy Berry.
Rudy Berry.
Rudy yeah. Berry.
That would be brutal. No, please don't do
baby
that.
Rudolph. You're gonna call him Baby Rudolph.
Rudy the Red Nose Berry.
Anyway, whatever. Anyway, it was a terrible note from Kyle all around, and he derailed.
We can agree
the show.
On that. Yeah.
Nice job. All right. So now we're back. Field Yates.
We go on to the Rookie of the Year. If you don't know what this one is, I'm not sure what to tell you. Fantasy football's top-producing rookie. The nominees, believe it or not, include Saquon Barkley of the New York Giants, 24.1 fantasy points per game. He played in 16 games. Philip Lindsay, 14.9 fantasy points per game. He played in 15 games. Calvin Ridley, 12.9 fantasy points per game, good enough for wide receiver 28 this season. And Nick Chubb of the Browns, he was running back 25, 12.2 fantasy points per game. Who wants to be the person like?
Well, look, Field.
Who wants to make the case for someone not named Saquon?
Okay.
Keith? Let's talk about somebody
Nick
other
Chubb?
Than Saquon. Yeah, let's talk about Nick Chubb.
I love Nick Chubb, but we'll give him some.
All right,
some
how, about
here,
how about this? How about this? You're excited about Keith, about Nick Chubb. You're a Browns fan. Like, that's about as far as we need to go into this analysis. Right.
Right? I mean, I didn't vote for him, so let's be clear. But he did do a nice job after he got the job.
Right.
We'll leave it at that.
So. Look, why don't we just tell Stefania to look? No, so no. Saquon Barkley,
why bother yeah. belaboring the points?
Why bother,
yeah, exactly.
Okay,
come
you
on.
Ready?
Really?
Do I get a drum roll? Never guess, but the rookie of the year 06-0-0 goes to
Kerryon Johnson,
Nick Chubb. Saquon Barkley. Look, that's the most anticlimactic introduction of an award ever, because it was clear from the way we were talking that we didn't even know how to make the case for anyone else. Why? Because it was unanimously voted on that Saquon Barkley was the rookie.
There were questions coming into the preseason. I had him as a top five player overall and a top five running back. Others did as well. Some people had him as a late first rounder, even as an early second rounder. Rookie running back, hamstring injuries in the preseason.
To be
bad
fair,
offensive
he got those
line.
Taken care of when the recall came through. That's why he did so well. Oh. Thank you, Stefania.
Do we have a worst joke? Do we have worst joke? Is that one of the 06-0-1-0s?
Out. Yeah.
So
I had to get it in for the final show. Come on. Come
so
on.
Good. So
oh
good.
Oh, my God.
He's been
this
waiting
year can't,
all
this
show.
Year can't, this year can't be over quick enough. I think I'm going to have to call in tomorrow's podcast. And Mike Clay is going to do it with somebody else. Look, So, right, there were questions. People questioned Saquon Barkley. There was a lot of people like, oh, that offensive line is so brutal, and rookie running back unproven, hamstring injuries. How bad is the Giants' offense going to be? And yet, he had a rushing touchdown or 100-plus yards in 15 of 16 games this year. So much consistency, 15 touchdowns. Only Todd Gurley and Alvin Kamara had more. 385 fantasy points. That is 60 more points than Ezekiel Elliott, 65 more points than Alvin Kamara had during their rookie season. So not only did he have a great rookie season this year, he had an epic one of all time, better than some of the great rookie running back seasons we've seen in recent history. Last stat here, which is so important, especially in PPR, which is the default format, he had 91 receptions this year. That's more than Tyreek Hill, more than Mike Evans, more than George Kittle, among many other players. 91 receptions.
You could have possibly asked for out of a rookie. He was tremendous. He was about the only thing worth watching on the Giants offense this
virtually
season.
Virtually matchup proof.
That's correct. We move forward now to the best value. The player whose production exceeded their projected value based on average draft position. A A note, the player had to be universally drafted to qualify. We'll get to the top free agents. We already kind of got to the top free agents earlier on in the show. The nominees, here's where they were drafted, and here's where they finished. Patrick Mahomes drafted as quarterback 16. He finished as quarterback 1. George Kittle drafted as tight end 17. He finished as tight end 3. And James Conner was drafted as running back 39. He finished running back 6. So we actually, all three of us, had different votes here. Matthew, I'll let you have the floor first. Your pick was James Conner's.
It was. Look, I thought long and hard about Mahomes because obviously his was a magical season. And the reason I went away from Mahomes and went towards Conner is because about position scarcity and the availability of replacements on the waiver wire. So you think about Mahomes, and as great as he was, you think about guys that weren't really drafted or drafted low, like Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, Mitch Trubisky, Baker Mayfield, Philip Rivers, Andrew Luck, Dak Prescott, all of them drafted outside the top 10. All of them gave you week in production, certainly from sometime. And then you think about even the Tampa Bay quarterbacks, like if you played that roulette between Fitzmagic and Jameis Winston. So honestly, as great as Mahomes was, for me, it was James Conner here, right? On a per game basis from weeks 5 through 9, he was the best running back in fantasy. If you missed out on Dalvin Cook, not missed out, but like if Dalvin Cook or Leonard Fournette or Le'Veon Bell, one of these running backs just sort of, I'm trying to think of a proper way to say this, derailed your season, if you will. Remember Devontae Freeman, who was an early second round pick. He went down with an injury pretty early on. Royce Freeman was a guy that was drafted in the second round. He didn't perform up to expectations. So James Conner saved a lot of seasons at a position that honestly didn't have a ton of depth this year. And he gave you consistent production week in, week out while he was healthy. So for me, the vote in terms of best value, running back 39, he was going like in the 12th, 13th round. For me, it's James Conner. He's my vote.
Star Fanya, if you had to make a vote, it would go for George Kittle, your beloved 49ers tight end.
Right, and before everybody accuses me of just being a homer, I've got plenty of stats to back this up. Look, he was drafted as a tight end 3, and he finished as tight end 3.
No, he was drafted as tight end 17.
17.
But
you misspoke. You said he was drafted as tight end 3. No, he was drafted as tight end 17.
As a tight end 3. Like a third tight end. Open the ears. Like, you know,
one through. Kinda...
The phrasing's brutal.
Yeah, I know. But it's not even correct because he was drafted as tight end 2. But so we move on. Whatevs. Anyway, the point is he went from math, not a part of the show. He went from 17 to 3. Let me tell you this.
He was good.
5 games with at least 98 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown. He's the only tight end to do that this year. He was the 5th best player in week 17. You talk about when things matter most. And this is all positions, not 5th best tight end, 5th best player in week 17 with 29.9 points. Yeah. He played in all 16 games, and consider this, that he played from week 9 through week 17 with broken ribs. He was injured in week 9. There was so much damage to the 49ers as being down with injuries that he continued to play with the injuries. And if you want to compare to other guys at the position, you talked about position scarcity.
For the record, my guy beat cancer.
Ebron.
I mean, broken ribs is nice, but it just my guy beat cancer.
Right. Well, he was playing while he had broken ribs.
I'm just saying, my guy beat cancer.
Ebron, you're a horrible person. Ebron was tight end 4, and he was 36.5 points behind George Kittle. And Kyle Rudolph, who you talked about with the one game, it was a wonder. He finished tight end 7 on the year. He was over 106 points behind
Kittle. Was
George
good.
Kittle.
George Kittle
he
was
didn't
great.
Beat cancer. He was good. He didn't beat cancer, but he was good.
Let me make the case for Patrick Mahomes, my vote in this case. And I'm going to not empty out the vault of Patrick Mahomes' goodness because he might be nominated for some of our final awards.
Right.
In terms of players that appeared on championship-winning teams this season, only one player, Christian McCaffrey, was on a higher percentage of those championship teams than Patrick Mahomes. So you talked about, you know, the positional value is different. If Patrick Mahomes was just that much better than the rest of the quarterbacks in fantasy football this year, 35.5% of leagues with the champion had Patrick Mahomes as his or her starting quarterback. He was great every single week. Not a single dud from Patrick Mahomes all season, and more often than not, he was taking Mike Clay's projections and doubling them. The guy was an absolute freak. He was a behemoth this year. My pick for best value, clearly Patrick Mahomes. But Matthew, is now your turn. Drum roll, please.
Well, I will just say what's amazing about all these players is that they've all, as we look into rankings for 2019, they're all at the top of their position. So James Conner is vaulted into being a top 10 running back. George Kittle is obviously a top three tight end. Mahomes is going to be the number one quarterback drafted next year. So it's unbelievable. All three players had an amazing season, but the 06010E for best value goes to envelope, please. Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, if you missed out on any of these guys this season, you're not going to get the best value for him anymore because now they're going
to
cost.
We move forward to breakout player of the year, and this is the player whose production exceeded expectations and had not previously emerged as a reliable fantasy asset. In this case, Patrick Mahomes was nominee number one. He finishes quarterback one with 417.1 total points. Number two in terms of nominees is James Conner. He was RB6 with 280 total points. And Tyler Boyd finished as wide receiver 17 with 221 points. Eric Carabell's not here right now, but he made the case for James Conner. And it probably goes along the lines, Matthew, of what you just said for him in terms of best value. He was awesome and a somewhat unlikely source of awesomeness because of all the Le'Veon Bell noise that we thought could lead to him eventually showing up at the beginning of the season.
I think it's not who I voted for, but I think my guess is that Eric's argument for James Conner for breakout player of the year would be that there was so much talk about Le'Veon Bell's contract and a franchise guy, and he'd been franchised by the Steelers. And so I think there was thought that, like, hey, maybe even the Steelers don't think the reason they're willing to pay $14 million to Le'Veon Bell, the reason they franchised him is because they don't necessarily know that James Conner can match his production. And so I think there was a thought in terms of Patrick Mahomes that, being the lead quarterback in an Andy Reid offense and that they'd gotten rid of Alex Smith after a very productive year, that we thought there would be good things. He was a sleeper for many people coming this year, including myself. So maybe that's in terms of breakout, no one expected James Conner to do what he did. And so I think that would be the argument maybe that Eric would make for James Conner is that he truly, I mean, in many ways, if you look at the stats, actually exceeded Le'Veon Bell and hurt Le'Veon Bell's free agency case because he performed so well.
We go back to the well of Patrick Mahomes, who had seven games this year with four-plus passing touchdowns. That's more than any other two quarterbacks put together combined. I just mentioned he had 417.1 fantasy points, the most ever by a quarterback in fantasy football. He is the presumptive NFL MVP after getting 45 of the 50 first-team all-pro votes. Five went to Drew Brees. The writing's on the wall there. Patrick Mahomes was ridiculous. So
he had as many games. He had 10 different games where he scored 25 or more fantasy points. Those 10 games, that's the same number as Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers combined.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Like, if you're like, who has more fantasy point games of 25 points or more, Big Ben, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers combined, or Patrick Mahomes, it's tied. I mean, that's how unbelievable he was.
All right, so without further ado, drum roll please for Starfanya.
And the 06010E for Breakout Player of the Year goes to Patrick Mahomes.
All right, Patty Mahomes.
Not much of a surprise there. I mean, all except for one vote from Eric Carabell.
10 of 11 votes go to him. Let's turn our attention now to the playoff MVP, the player that held the most value during the postseason in ESPN Standard Leagues, which, of course, represents weeks 14 through 17. Our nominees are as follows. Derrick Henry, a popular name so far, 105.8 total points. Josh Allen with 90.2 total points. And Damian Williams with 87.2 total points. He, of course, is the new Chiefs starting running back. Played great over the weekend in the playoffs as well. You know, like, so I asked this. When it's such a finite window, a four-week window, like, isn't the easy logic just the guy that's supposed to score the most points? Because it wasn't like 80% of these points from Derrick Henry came in just one game. He was dominant throughout those four-game stretch.
Yeah, and I think when you think about Josh Allen, there was a little bit of, like, people were concerned about, was it fluky? Like, you know, and because of the depth of the position quarterback, I don't know how many playoff games Josh Allen was started in.
And with Damian Williams, people kept thinking, is Spencer Ware going to come back? Are they going to use Damian Williams the same way? So you weren't exactly sure.
But Derrick Henry, you knew, was the guy, especially after that Jacksonville game. He had seven postseason rushing touchdowns just in this playoff window over that stretch. That's that's one more than Alvin Kamara and Saquon Barkley combined for.
Right.
Kamara and Barkley had six. Derrick Henry had seven by himself. Averaged 146 rushing yards per game during the fantasy playoffs. So, drum roll please. The 06-01 OE for playoff MVP goes to Derrick Henry. Two first names, always a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, how about that?
Right, Derrick Henry finishing strong. Yeah. Collecting the hardware.
What happens with Derrick Henry next year? We'll see who is the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. Of course, their offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur, is now the Packers head coach. Our final award is the player of the year. You might have an idea of where it is actually headed. It's the best player in fantasy football in 2018. We have five nominees. They are listed by most points scored this season. Patrick Mahomes is number one with 417.1. Saquon Barkley, number two, 385.8. Just narrowly ahead of Christian McCaffrey at 385.5. Todd Gurley, 372.1. But he had the most fantasy points per game this season. Of course, he sat out those last two games.
Right.
And James Conner at number five. We've talked a lot about basically every one of these candidates, except for Todd Gurley. So perhaps right now, Matthew, just like, plug Todd Gurley's awesomeness.
Well, I think there was some concern coming into the season. Could he repeat his magical 2017 season? You know, and so, people thought like Todd Gurley's going to be good, but will he, you know, will there be some sort of regression to the mean?
No way he could possibly do this.
And then yet he did. You know, he was just money in the bank. And if it wasn't for those last 2 weeks, we might have a closer race on our hands. But, you know, Todd Gurley was everything you would want in a number one overall pick. He's, I think, the consensus number one for next year as well.
Yep.
And at least he is in my ranks.
Could certainly be. Yeah. There's a very good case for him. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see if anyone else pops up. But he's my number one player overall for next year. My ranks are up on ESPN.com, as are Mike Clay's for 2019. But, yeah, Todd Gurley, you know, just once again – making Sean McVay and the Rams and fantasy managers very, very proud to have him on their team. He was nothing short of terrific here. It was mostly unanimous, although Statapillar, you voted for Christian McCaffrey.
I did, yeah. You know, I think Mahomes took home enough hardware on this show already, but my argument for McCaffrey is this.
Spoiling the winner?
The Panthers really didn't have any other skill position player you felt comfortable starting all season, and McCaffrey still produced week in, week out, set the reception record for running backs. And if you look at it, he finished roughly 30 points behind Mahomes. If he played all of week 17 instead of just the first couple of drives, he could have finished the year as the number one fantasy player.
Well, maybe his coach wouldn't have benched him if he wasn't so bad in week 17.
Wow.
Yeah. Stop it. He played like one series.
Never assume rational coaches. Stop.
Some might be putting up with the Statapillar or whatever. You know what I'm trying
to say. Picking up
what Statapillar is putting down. But right. Patrick Mahomes, he broke the fantasy scoring record and outscored other quarterbacks this season by 62.1 points. But how about this? Like, he barely played in the fourth quarter. He was quarterback 11 in terms of fourth quarter points. So, like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes played every game. But he was also playing some meaningless games in the fourth quarter.
Where they were handing off to here and there.
One last time.
Right. Well, but I want to give you this one. This was what was amazing for him is we talk about consistency a lot in fantasy.
Yeah.
Right? Think about this. Weeks 1 through 4, Patrick Mahomes, the number one quarterback in fantasy. Weeks 5 through 8, he was the second best quarterback in fantasy, average of 25 fantasy points per game. Weeks 9 through 12, the third best quarterback in fantasy, average of 27 fantasy points. In week 13 through 17, he was the second best quarterback in fantasy.
Yeah.
He was a top three guy throughout the entire stretch of the season. It wasn't just like Derrick Henry where he was amazing for one portion of the season. Like week in, week out, Patrick Mahomes was all that and a bag of chips.
And with a number of quarterback injuries, he stayed healthy and played all 16 games.
He was amazing. So here we go now. One more time. Drum roll, please.
In the 06-01 OE for the biggest award of the year, Player of the Year, Patrick Mahomes.
Woo! No surprise there. Patrick Mahomes was remarkable. He was brilliant. He was everything you could have possibly asked for, and we get to see Patrick Mahomes this Sunday when the Chiefs host the Patriots at 5:40.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Arrowhead
time. So, we haven't really talked playoffs yet, but man, oh man. We got four great. Whoever wins, we're gonna have a great Super Bowl.
Great Super Bowls all the way around.
We got a couple things to be able to wrap up here. We did do a poll, Matthew Berry, to be able to decide what we want to do here. Biggest disappointment of the season.
Okay.
67% of the votes came in for Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. There you go. Exactly.
We made our case. We made our case, man.
Yeah, there you go. Good job,
I would like to put forward the, as the producer of the show, one final award that we did not vote on.
Oh, okay.
But I personally would like to make an executive decision. Please tell me if you disagree. You always do. For the player who should have won an award but did not win an award, because I think what James Conner did this year was absolutely incredible based on the player that he was, and unfortunately he was just overshadowed by a historic season from Patrick Mahomes. But to do what James Conner did, Matthew, like we've talked about, to be running back six.
I would go with my award. I would have created an award for the most consistent player in fantasy football, and I would have given it to Devontae Adams, who had at least 15 points in every single game. Weeks 1 through 16, obviously they're not
playing. These are like the honorable mention awards we should be getting.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like technical awards, you know, that we were, I mean, but
presented
honestly,
earlier
like,
at
I would
a different
agree,
venue.
I would agree with James Conner. I would also say Christian McCaffrey. I mean, like, Christian McCaffrey didn't win any awards, but Chris McCaffrey
somebody
was,
thought he should
DeAndre Hopkins
let's
was amazing.
Be honest.
Julio was awesome.
Todd Gurley as well.
Field would have won best boy, probably.
Yeah, 100%.
I would have won most patient.
Yes. Well, you would have won best guns, probably.
That's 100%.
There you go.
Most in shape analyst. In the
You know, for the people.
Yeah.
For the final show.
That's exactly. It is, suns out, guns out for Stefania.
We have one last poll that we need to deliver on, and it was at the very beginning of the show. We said, did Matthew make the right clothing choice today? 29% said yes. 71 said no, he never does.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
You know what? That's a good way to end the year. Trolled by the audience.
That's typical. Right.
There you go. That's fair. It's
good
fine.
Stuff.
Well,
there.
You know what? But though, honestly, I argue that that poll proves my point because it's like, no, he never does. So my point was, my whole point of choosing this was, why am I going to compete with Field? Because that's just a losing proposition. So the audience agrees with me. Nope, never does. Like, there was no way I'm going to compete with Field.
Regardless, but why is it about competing with Field? Why can't you just be your own person? Express yourself, Matthew, in your own way. Don't try and out Vineyard Vines him.
Yeah, guess what?
Wow.
This is me expressing myself. Hey, I also want to express myself to Stefania real quickly.
Show 100.
Come on.
This was show 100. It was a tremendous, it was an exhilarating season. We have a ton of people to thank. Obviously, the two of you for making today and every single day a ton of fun. People behind the glass led by Daniel, Keith, Kyle, the Stata Pillar, Damian, Tarika, who played a big part in helping out with the production
and her
of
cult.
This podcast.
Shout out.
Jonathan Luna, Sid Wong, Pete Genesini. Who am I forgetting on
Mike
the backside?
Mike Clay, who filled in so much. And everybody that, even though they were not on the show, we used them so many times, either in their rankings or their articles. Both Eric and Tristan, Casey Joyner, everybody else from the fantasy department that has helped for this
Matt
show.
Matt Bowen.
Yes. People that played an integral role in what we do every single day. And, of course, you, the fans, the viewers, the listeners,
and
those who joined.
How about our host, Field Yates?
Did we thank Matt Kilkeath?
Yes, we did.
Yes, he said we did. But wait, you know what?
Pierre Baquet of the Fantasy Department.
Field is too humble to credit himself, so we will credit you.
Oh, yes.
Field,
thank you to Field for showing up.
Fabulous host and for putting up with, you know, the guy who sits between us, Field.
Yeah. Just showing
and
up.
And you win the attendance award. You win the attendance award.
Oh, Field gets
every
perfect
year,
attendance.
Every year you win the attendance award. Tom Carpenter, we should thank Tom Carpenter as well.
A lot of people to go around, and all of those that participated in the men's, the women's, the celebrity leagues. It was a ton of fun. It was a great season. We have a podcast coming your way tomorrow in terms of audio form. For those that watch it on Twitter, if you're watching this on YouTube, enjoy it. We're back.
And
we're never leaving you. We promise.
So there'll be another show next Monday as well. There'll be a robust audio podcast, but there'll be a robust off-season schedule as well. I think we don't have any dates to announce here yet, but my expectation is that the 06010 will once again hit the road at some point next year. And so we'll let you know when that happens as well. But,
all right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
All of us here in the Weasel Dome. for Field, Stefania, Daniel, Not Cool Keith, Thirsty Kyle, we appreciate you.
Love you.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait. Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't. let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel.